today as we come to the table.
Some of you moms, I don't know how you do it. You got kids going to every single event all over town, all the other things you're supposed to do as a mom at home, and some of you even have a part-time job. It's insane, and you're exhausted. Some of you as dads, you're exhausted because of your lifestyle and what you're doing. Some of you may even, now you're getting older in years and you're starting to feel exhausted and you're saying, Lord, I want to serve you, but I don't have the strength. Listen, and here's my encouragement. Whatever God has called you to do, He will give you the strength to do it. No matter your situation, no matter your condition, God will give you the grace. And we see that here with God giving the grace to Jacob.
Feel like the responsibilities of life are overbearing? Perhaps your physical and mental capacity is maxed out. Even Jacob at a very old age must have felt exhausted. But the Lord gave him the strength he needed. Likewise, the Lord will always supply us with everything we need to get through each day. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage listeners to stay faithful and trust in the mighty hand of God, even when life gets full. The Lord has promised to never leave nor forsake us. Whatever season He has you in or calling that He has placed on your life, He will be faithful to carry you through if you trust in Him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 47, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
While we open up to Genesis chapter 47, and today we're going to be covering Genesis chapter 47, starting in verse 27, and covering all of 48. And so why don't we just read the first few verses together to get a feel of what's going on, and then we'll go back and look at it more closely. Notice it says, so Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. And when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, now, if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as you have said. And then he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of his bed. I've entitled today's message, A New Beginning. You know, I'm going to lose some weight, or I'm going to start jogging, or I'm going to do whatever. And all these New Year's resolutions that come up. And there's nothing wrong in that. As a matter of fact, I know that most of them don't last. I mean, they go for a couple of months and that's about it. Typically, there's very few that really hold those resolutions out. But you know, I think God has created in us and placed in us a desire for newness and refreshment. And what do I mean by that? Maybe some of you don't like change. As a matter of fact, some of you probably hate change. But the bottom line is God has put in us a desire for newness, a desire for something new. You see, the marketers have caught on to that. That's why when you go buy your product on the shelf, it'll say new and improved almost every time you buy it. And sometimes you'll read what the new and improved, I didn't know this till I went to college and had a friend who was graduate who was actually getting his degree in marketing. And I forget where I heard this exact information, but no doubt it was through some connection there. But they said, you know what? You can go and put new improved if you just change like one color on the can. And the can is new and improved, or maybe they change and they'll put new design, you know? And for some reason, we like to buy the one with the new design. Same formula, but new design, right? We like refreshing things. We like things that are new. And I think that's okay. Because again, God wants us to take us, the Bible says, from glory to glory. God wants to do a new work in your life this coming year. And so the fact that you want something new is okay. God has ordained it. And it's of the Lord. It's something that's good. But again, some of you this morning are needing a change so badly, you're saying, God, I need something new or I'm not going to make it. God wants to do that in your life as well. And so again, we start that, get out of the stale life, have a refreshment in our life. And let me say this, it doesn't mean necessarily a change in something like a change in your job or a change in moving to a new location. That's not usually what does it. Those are temporary fixes. When we need a refreshment from the Lord, when we need a new beginning in some area, we need God to touch our lives. And so that's what my hope is today, is that we can ask God to do that and see God be faithful to touch our lives in the midst of that. Now, we need a little bit of background before we get into this, because again, we're going to see today Jacob bringing in newness into his life, and that is adding two new tribes to the children of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh. And it's not really Jacob doing it. It's the Lord doing it, but he's doing it through Jacob. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute, Pastor Mark, I thought there were only 12 tribes of Israel. Well, today we're going to see the completion of the 12 tribes of Israel. And some of you that have been students of the word sometimes find there's even 13 names mentioned. And I've even had some of you come up and say, why are there 13 tribes listed when there's only supposed to be 12 tribes of Israel? Well, let me explain how this works. You see, Joseph is never called one of the tribes of Israel. Manasseh and Ephraim, we're going to see today, Joseph is absorbed into them, his oneness into them, so to speak, represented. Joseph is represented through his two sons, and so it's Ephraim and Manasseh, but that still gives us a problem. We have an extra tribe, 13 tribes rather than 12 tribes. Well, God answers that when Moses comes along and he gives the law. And God says, I'm going to take the tribe of Levi and not give them an inheritance among the 12 tribes. They will be priests unto me. I will be their inheritance, so they will not be counted in the 12 tribes of Israel in the land. So there's where you get your grouping of the 12 tribes of Israel. So if you read there's 13 tribes sometime, don't be stumbled by that. And this is where we get all of the tribes, the completion of the tribes, as God starts this new thing, this new beginning in the nation of Israel as we see today. Well, let's jump into it. Joseph had been governing the land. The famine was severe. They had sold their property. They had sold their belongings. They'd even said, we'll be your servants to serve you. Just give us seed and let us plant and let us live and all this. And so Joseph took care of them. And at the same time that we had seen what was happening with Joseph and his governance, if you will, in Egypt, the children of Israel were getting established as well in the land of Goshen. And now the scene shifts back to the land of Goshen, starting in verse 27, and the children of Israel. And notice it says, so Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there, and they grew and multiplied exceedingly. Now, while the rest of the world was struggling, and it wasn't that the children of Israel didn't have their struggles, God was blessing them. And this is what I love about our God. Listen, we may live in a world right now that's struggling, and oftentimes we watch the news and we read the newspaper and we see things that are seemingly falling apart around us. What I love about the Lord is he doesn't always deliver us from it, but he always delivers us in it. And he always blesses us in the midst of it. And for those of us who are living spiritually in the land of Goshen, that is where God wants us to be in our walk and relationship with him, we experience blessing. And I love that about our Lord. Again, it doesn't always mean that we're going to be rich or have everything we want. The point is God is going to be faithful to take care of us. And we're going to see later that Jacob talks about the fact that his entire life, God was faithful to take care of him no matter what he went through. And we have that same promise. And so now they're there and it says they multiplied exceedingly. Now, it's interesting. At this time, there were 70. By the time they leave some 400 years from now, which we'll get to when we get in the book of Exodus, there's over 2 million. And so we'll see that God did bless them exceedingly. And God, in essence, grew a nation inside of a nation, the nation of Israel. So he blessed them and they multiplied exceedingly. And notice, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. Now that's a long time to live, don't you think? I think, man, 147 years. I mean, I heard of someone recently that was, you know, 120-some years old just a while back. I think that person has since then died. And we don't have that many that get up to these type of ages anymore for a number of reasons. But he had lived a long life. And again, that's going to come into play when we see him talking about God's faithfulness to him in his entire life. But notice this. He had been back in the land for 17 years, and now it's time to go home. Now it's time to leave. I find that significant because it's interesting in Scripture, the number 17 is the number of the perfection of spiritual order. And why do I say that? Because if there's somebody that wasn't perfect and didn't have order in their life for most of it, it was Jacob. Jacob was a man who was wrestling with God rather than resting. He was a man who struggled in many areas. His life was out of order many times. His family's life was out of order. And yet by the end of his life, we see that he's a man that's come to a place of maturity. And I think there's something here in this for us in that God is faithful to complete the work he's begun. I think that God does everything for a reason. And even the fact of pointing out he'd been back in the land for 17 years, this perfection of spiritual order, what he's saying is he's blessing Jacob in his final years, and Jacob is finally at the place that he wants to be. Now, I hope that it doesn't take us to get to over 100 years old before we're finally where God wants us to be, or most of us won't make it. But the bottom line is God wants us to be spiritually mature, and God has promised to continue to work in our lives until we get spiritually mature. The Lord said, I will be faithful to complete the work I've begun. And the encouragement I want to give you this morning is if you see all the flaws in your life, you're going to have flaws until you get to the kingdom and get your new body, which is going to be perfect, and being in a perfect environment. You're not going to ever attain that down here, but you are going to get better and better by the moment. The encouragement we take from this is that God doesn't stop. He accepts us where we are, he continues to grow us, and he's working us toward this place of divine order, this spiritual maturity that God wants us to have. And so no matter where you are this morning, don't be discouraged. God's not done. He's doing a work, and he's going to complete the work that he's doing. Let him do it. And so we see this man now yielded to the Lord. At the very end of his life, he's had a good at least 17 years. Struggled, I think, the first part, as he said at 130 when he spoke to Pharaoh, that his days had been few and evil. But I think now these last 17 had been a blessing, and he finally was in the place God wanted him to be. Verse 29, and when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, now, if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me, and please do not bury me in Egypt. But let me lie with my fathers, and you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as you have said. Now notice this. He says, don't bury me here, but notice the promise. What in the world is going on? Put your hand under my thigh? Now remember, if you were here earlier, we saw this oath given earlier in the book of Genesis. And the way this worked was, back in that day, if you were going to take an oath that was a very serious oath, you would put your hand under someone's thigh. And by doing that, you were not only saying, I'm making the promise to you, I'm also making the promise to your descendants. And that made it a much heavier oath. I mean, this was better than a double dare, or the pinky oath. I mean, this was serious business, and he was taking this. And what it meant was you put your hand under there. And again, this was the area that was closest to basically your children in the future. And so because of that, you were saying, I'm going to honor you and I'm going to honor your children in the future. And Jacob says, put your hand under my thigh. I don't want you to just tell me you're going to do this. I need to have some kind of further commitment. And you know what this means culturally to us. Make this commitment to me. And notice he says, don't bury me here. He says, I don't want to be left here. And he said, bury me in the land where my father is and the land where I'm supposed to be. Now, again, why is this? There's a number of reasons. One is they wanted to be buried with their family. You would have a family tomb and you would bury in that family tomb. But also God had promised that one day he was going to give them the land. And Jacob knew he would never see that. He's on his deathbed. Time's run out. And yet God promised, I'm going to take your children, put them in the land, and then one day I'm going to resurrect every one of you to live in the land. And when is that resurrection going to take place? When the Lord comes back and the millennial kingdom. But here's what's interesting about the Jews. They want to make sure that they're there. The Orthodox Jew wants to be as close to the resurrection as they can be. Now, again, no matter where you are at the resurrection, you're going to be with the Lord. But it's interesting. The Orthodox Jews and those who know that God has promised the land, they want to be buried in the land of Israel. And that's why even today, when you go to the Mount of Olives, you'll see all the tombstones all across the Mount of Olives and all around there, because when the resurrection comes, they want front row seats. Now, again, this was his heart. He said, I don't want to be left here. I don't want to be left in Egypt. Something that's a symbol of the world. I want to be left in the land that you've promised. I want to be buried there, and I want my bones taken there. And so he makes this promise, but he gets a further assurance. He said to him, swear to me. And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on his bed. It's almost as if he gets the promise from Joseph and he's like, you know what? I can rest now. And he lays back down, no doubt having to muster up the strength to get up and even get the promise from Joseph when he came to visit. And, I think it's interesting too that he chose Joseph to come and give the promise, because Joseph is the one that he really trusted and the one that had shown himself faithful throughout all these years. And he's like, look, I know if anybody's going to do it, Joseph, you will. Make sure I don't stay here. And how many of us, if our parents, ask for something on their deathbed, how many of us are not going to do everything we can to see it come to pass? And so now he has the promise from Joseph, and Joseph feels that he can, rather Jacob feels he can rest now in his heart. Well, the story goes on. Notice verse 1 of 48. It came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. No doubt he's thinking, hey, dad might be dying, and I know that dad's on his, you know, last leg, and I want to go out there and make sure I see him before he dies. No doubt also wanting to grab Manasseh and Ephraim to go and see their grandfather before he died. But I think there's a greater meaning here to this as well. And that is, I believe that Joseph wanted the Abrahamic blessing. He wanted Jacob to lay his hands on his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and to bless them and to pass on this promise. I mean, who doesn't want the best for their kids? And to know that Jacob had this ability to lay hands on them and pray for them and bless them, he'd seen it in his life, and now he wanted it in his kids' life. And, you know, I was thinking about this, but wouldn't it be great to have somebody in your family that God had, you know, ordained to be somebody to lay hands on you, and, you know, whatever they pronounced over you would come to pass? At least you would hope they would pronounce something good, right? You know? And so, again, he says, I'm going to take advantage of this. Come on, sons, let's go out there. Let's visit Grandpa. Maybe he'll lay hands on you, and we'll get a blessing. And so Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat on his bed. I think that's significant. Notice he refers to him here as Israel. Now, I know he called him Jacob and Israel, but the point is that he adds Israel to this because now Israel's going to begin to speak prophetically and by the Spirit for God. Remember, God gave two names to Jacob. One was Jacob. Actually, Jacob given at his birth that name. And God gave him a new name, Israel. Basically saying, this is what I want you to be one day, a prince with God, which is what Israel means. It means governed by God, and it means a prince with God. He says, one day you're going to be governed by God, and you're going to be a prince with God. And now you're about to make prophetic pronouncements on my behalf. And so it's interesting to me, the scripture, I believe, to point that out, refers to him as Israel as he sat up in his bed. Now, he's sitting up for this final blessing. And we're going to see that not only does he bless Ephraim and Manasseh, he's going to bless Joseph, and then we get into chapter 49, he's going to bless all the sons about their blessings as well as prophesying about what their future is. And some of them don't seem to be too much of a blessing when we get there because as he prophesies their future, it's not that great. But imagine him now strengthening himself to sit up and to give this blessing, and he's already sick, and he's 147 years old. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have some mornings it's hard for me to get up now. And I think, man, this guy's strengthening himself. And again, I believe that God is giving him the strength that he needs to get up and fulfill his call, because part of the call of Jacob was to lay his hands on these boys and to bring them into the family inheritance. Now, why do I say that? And why is that significant for us? Simply for this. Some of you feel worn out. Some of you moms, I don't know how you do it. You got kids going to every single event all over town, all the other things you're supposed to do as a mom at home, and some of you even have a part-time job. It's insane, and you're exhausted. Some of you as dads, you're exhausted because of your lifestyle and what you're doing. Some of you may even, now you're getting older in years, and you're starting to feel exhausted, and you're saying, Lord, I want to serve you, but I don't have the strength. Listen, and here's my encouragement. Whatever God has called you to do, he will give you the strength to do it. No matter your situation, no matter your condition, God will give you the grace. And we see that here with God giving the grace to Jacob. You know, I loved it when I heard about Ruth Graham. You know, when she was alive, she would talk about Billy Graham and him going to the Crusades and saying, you know what, there are times he's so weak and he's so, you know, shaky and all this because he was up in years, as you know, he's getting, you know, well into his 80s. And so he would get up there and still do the Crusades, and she would say he would have no strength at all, hardly even strength to get up and get ready that morning for the Crusade. And she said when he would get up there to speak, there would be a new power that would come upon him. And God's not through with you. How do I know that? You're sitting here this morning. God's not done with you. He has a plan for you, and he's got a new beginning right now from today for the rest of your life. You can't go back and take away or change the things that have happened in the past, but God wants to give you a fresh start right now. He wants to give you a new beginning today. Each day he wants to do that. And until you go home to be with him, God will use you, no matter what you're feeling like. But you need to make yourself available and say, all right, Lord, I want you to do it. Well, God strengthened Israel. And he sat up in his bed, this 147-year-old man who was sick on top of it. And Jacob said to Joseph, and now he begins to recap his life and to set this whole thing up for the blessing and to remind him where he's come from and God's faithfulness. He said, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me. Remember when he was on the run from his brother, God appeared to him and let him know what he was going to do in his life. And he said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and I will multiply you. And again, up to this point that had happened. I mean, they were up to 70 as a family. That's a big family. He says, God said he would make, I will make you fruitful and multiply you. I will make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you. Note this, as an everlasting possession. Guys, how long is everlasting? It's everlasting. The Bible says that God has given this promise to the nation of Israel, and God is going to complete that promise. This is why Jacob wanted to be buried in the land, because he knew that God was good to his word, and he wanted to be in his new body right there with the Lord in Jerusalem. He wanted to be resurrected right there. And he wanted to be before the Lord in the land of promise. But what's key about this, again, is God says it's an everlasting promise. There are some that say today God's through with the nation of Israel. Nonsense. When God gives an everlasting promise, he is everlastingly faithful. And Jacob knew that. And that's why he said, bury me there. This is what God promised. And it's to your descendants as well, Joseph. He said, and now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. In other words, I'm adding your two sons to my name and my inheritance as the tribes of Israel. Yes, they were born of you, but they're being taken in and adopted spiritually by me now. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is God's blessing on Joseph, but also it tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 that the right of the firstborn was taken away from Reuben. You remember Reuben, he's the one that went into his father's concubine. And not only Reuben, Simeon was a man of great violence. Remember, he was involved in the great destruction at Shechem. And these boys were a great heartache to Jacob. Now, Jacob didn't remove them, and God didn't remove them from the family inheritance, but he did scoot Reuben out of the place of the firstborn, and now he moves Joseph into the place of the firstborn, being represented by Ephraim and Manasseh. And again, we'll see that more when we get to chapter 49 in more detail. But he says, you know, they're going to be mine. They're not going to be yours. He goes on to say, your offspring whom you beget after them shall be yours, and they will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. In other words, the kids you have from this point on, they're a part of your family inheritance. But these two, I'm taking as my own. And again, this would have been something Joseph was happy about, not sad about. He wasn't going to lose his sons, but he had now gained the blessing on them as being received. So he now knows that Jacob is going to put this blessing on them, this Abrahamic blessing, and bring them in the fold of the inheritance. Notice he says, but as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. You know, it's interesting. It's almost as if, where did this come from? He now mentions Rachel out of the blue when he's talking about what God has done in his life and the fact he's going to take these two sons to be a part of the nations of Israel, the tribes, rather, of Israel. And yet his heart was always for Rachel. I think it's sweet, always till the end there, is his beloved Rachel. He mentions the fact that he buried her, you know, and it was on the way there to Bethlehem, no doubt thinking about her and just, you know, had her deep in his heart. And then Israel saw Joseph's sons and he said, who are these? Now, again, you would think he would know who they are, but again, it's going to tell us in just a moment, he's blind now. He's 147 years old. He can probably see some images to a degree, but he's blind for the most part. He doesn't recognize who they are. And he said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, these are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me and I will bless them. Now, again, we're going to see him bring the sons forward for the blessing, but I want you to note something else here. Jesus, again, said that you are a gift to the Father. The Bible says that you've been given as a gift. And Joseph here, again, says, these are the ones that God has given me while in Egypt. And Joseph being a type of Jesus, there's a beautiful picture here of our relationship to the Lord. You see, even as God gave those children to Joseph, the Bible says that God has given us to his son, Jesus Christ.
Well, our time at the table of God's word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.